Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Nation fam, what it do? What is happening? We are coming at you live. It's the Degen Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. We are talking the week 16 GPP picks, value stacks, and of course, we got the lineup build for you. I'm Ryan Williams. You can find me on Twitter and X at RyanAlexander_W, and I'm joined by only one of the usual suspects today. That's Maddie D at Maddie DFS is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Maddie 2v2. Maddie gets buckets. Maddie, I'm struggling today, you're struggling, and what better way to, you know, still get after it with the people as we just decided not to have Kevin on and let this be an hour and 30 minute show, and we'll just talk about the slate ourselves.
That's right, yeah. I know Kev said he might pop in here in about 45 minutes when he gets back, but maybe we can make it through before he gets back and just tell him we never even did a show.
We never did a show, man.
So
it's crazy.
Kev can go live by himself after.
It's a week before Christmas, and we're giving the DJ Nation family a gift here by cutting out the Godfather himself, Kevin. So this is a great slate for Kevin really to have been on. You know, I figured he would have made something work with. He probably will come in on his phone just to be able to talk about this gross slate, Maddie. We got an 11 gamer on tap here for the Sunday main slate. We got Saturday football coming at us tomorrow as we're recording live on Friday with two games. So this makes it an 11 game slate, and there's still a lot that people are, you know, these teams are still playing for. But man, when you're looking at the slate and kind of what it presents itself on the surface, it's a really ugly slate. We got injuries across the board. We got, you know, rookies coming in to take over for $100 million quarterbacks who we don't know what's going to happen there. We got Jameis getting benched in what we thought was going to be potentially the game of the week. That was absolutely going to be bananas between Cleveland and Cincinnati there. And there's just not a lot that really jumps off the page. But I will say, Maddie, that every time we kind of talk about it being see, Kevin's already throwing me off as he's trying to get in here fast. But every time we talk about it being an ugly slate, I always find out that we unlock these gems. And so I'm really excited to talk through this slate with you, because I always know where Kevin's going to go on things like these. But, you know, you weren't on the show last week, Maddie, and I really thought that you would have been, you know, helping us unlock maybe that Jets game with the two in Jacksonville, because we've been talking about it all year, right? It's just trying to target these offenses who, you know, still have some value, right? Still have some pieces that can really nuke. And if they present themselves in the game environment that can take off, that's really what you want to stack around. And we saw that happen last week. And unfortunately, like, I know there's some people that had some Roger stacks that did ship, but honestly, like, if you took the Buffalo game in the late slate, like, you could have ended up overcoming the Jets and Jacksonville stack if you just had a couple pieces from that, but then fully game stack the Buffalo game. So it's a really intriguing slate here on 11 games. How are you looking at it this week?
I think this slate is disgusting. I mean, we've got the chalk is good chalk in my opinion. I mean, it's the guys I want to play. So, you know, for me, it's good chalk if it's they're the ones that I want to play. So it's going to be a little tough and uncomfortable, really, is I guess the best word of theme of this slate is you're going to have to build some uncomfortable teams to be a little bit different. But, you know, we'll kind of talk through it and try to figure it out. But yeah, it's, you know, you look at the ownerships up top, especially at the QB spot, you know, it's Anthony Richardson at home against Tennessee and Penix at home against the Giants, you know, two guys that are really cheap that, you know, stand out in good matchups. And, you know, Richardson's been able to put up points with his legs and, you know, can do it, you know, through the deep ball passing. And obviously Penix has, you know, talented weapons at his disposal there in Atlanta facing off against just a bad defense in the Giants. So, you know, and I'm a believer in Penix's talents. He's, you know, got a really strong arm and is a very good deep ball thrower. So I think he's going to unlock a different dimension of that offense that we haven't seen yet. I think Kirk has been, you know, subconsciously not trying to take hits, you know, with the injury, you know, coming back from that. And so I think that they haven't forced the ball downfield because of that. And, you know, it's been a lot of get the ball out quick and Kirk's not, you know, taking a bunch of chances or he's not even really scrambling at all because he just has no mobility. So I really think that the Atlanta offense we're going to see is going to be a little bit different with Penix under center. He might make some rookie mistakes, but I think, you know, we may be a little bit like Jameis, right, where he pushes the ball down the field for a couple of touchdowns, but also some interceptions. But yeah, so, I mean, you know, those two guys are the obvious ones this week, and they're the popular ones. So,
yeah, no, it's going to be fun to see Penix get his shot here, and I agree with you. I mean, we saw Cousins taking some deep shots, you know, earlier on the season. I know me and you kind of profited from that on some early showdowns where we were targeting the Falcons offense, but it has kind of subsided here as of late. And, you know, Penix will get a shot. I think I saw something that he was like in the Costco line, like for a hot dog checkout when he got the news that he was going to be starting. And it's not like Atlanta's out of the hunt too, which I find really bizarre that I guess not bizarre. Maybe they are seeing something in practice that is making them go to this decision, but you got to think that they trust this rookie to go in right away. Yes, it is a home game. Yes, it is against the Giants, but like their season, like playoffs football is on the line for them still in this division of the NFC South that hasn't really righted itself. So you would think, you know, they might lean on a veteran quarterback from that standpoint, but I guess that's just how bad Kirk Cousins has been. So I think that we will see, you know, them allow Penix to kind of sling it across the field. I mean, they still have Bijan that they can lean on. They have a prominent run game. And again, they're going against the Giants. So they should be able to, you know, scheme up some things quite easily for him. I think they have a game next week, I believe, against the Commanders, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, we'll see if they want to, you know, put the handcuffs on him or if they want to let him go with that matchup going forward. So Maddie, you talk about the chalk at the quarterback position, and you know how we do it here at the DJ Nation podcast. We kind of go through the positions for you guys and dictate the slate in that nature. And I think this week we're going to have the, you know, people looking to pay down because there's already some pieces coming into place due to injuries and positions and stuff like that. I think, you know, people look at cheap tight end, maybe pay up for receiver the way that last week went. There's going to be a popular running back that everybody wants to play on Detroit who's 7,500. So you're going to need some value on some other spots to feel good about your lineup. And I think the three that stand out right now are Anthony Richardson, who you mentioned, Caleb Williams, who you mentioned, and then Michael Penix Jr. So obviously there's a huge drop off. I mean, Caleb's at 5,500, Richardson's at 5,400, and then you have to go all the way down to 4,500 to Penix. But of those three, Maddie, do you have interest in any of those three, or would you be looking to kind of get different elsewhere? As I feel like, you know, probably a third of the field, if not more, you know, by the time we get to Sunday, is going to be trying to build around those three pieces at quarterback.
Yeah, I personally like Penix and Richardson. I mean, Caleb's interesting too. I mean, we saw him do it a little bit on Thanksgiving Day in this same matchup, and now he's at home instead of on the road. And you know, the Lions are without Montgomery, which could lean them into throwing the ball more and creating, you know, more explosive plays and leading to back and forth games more so than them just, you know, running the ball over and over again. So that game's interesting for sure. And Caleb's going to be the lowest owned of the three. So I think if you do like Caleb, it's definitely a spot where you can, you know, go overweight on that game. But I almost like, you know, if you like Caleb, I almost like playing golf too. You know, cause if Caleb's going to smash, you know, yeah. I just, it's hard for me to see a spot where golf doesn't smash here. And Gibbs is just a lock button, right? So like, but I think the Lions can get there through the air and Gibbs can be involved in that too. So, that game is definitely interesting. The game that's gross, that's also interesting, is the same game that went off last week was the Jacksonville Jaguar game. And now they've got the Raiders, who are also a terrible defense. And so now you have two really bad defenses, two really cheap quarterbacks, some really cheap pass catchers, you know, that are semi-decent. And that's the exact recipe that it was last week, right? I mean, you had a cheap Rodgers, Devontae and Wilson were mid-sixes. Then on the other side, Brian Thomas Jr. was free and Brenton Strange was free. And that game just nuked. And so now we've got the same thing with the Raiders. Jacoby Myers is mid fives. Bowers is low sixes. Brian Thomas Jr. is right around 6K. And Strange is once again free. So that game's interesting just from a lack of defense standpoint. I don't know, you know, how confident I am in it, but it feels gross, but that's what I mean in terms of, you know, you're going to have to probably get a little uncomfortable this week. But I mean, Mac Jones has been somewhat decent. You know, he's shown some ceiling games across, you know, this year and last year. Last week was 21. And then, you know, he's got a couple 20 point games as well, last year. So, I don't know. It's kind of gross, but outside of that, I mean, another spot where there's no running back is the San Francisco 49ers. So we could see them just lean into Purdy. You know, they've got Debo, obviously, who's going to play some running back, but Purdy, you know, he's going to have to throw the ball. And especially against Miami, you know, that lines up well with what they want to do through the air. I mean, it's tight ends against Miami. And then that's, you know, Ryan, you've been playing George Kittle all year, I feel like. So, you know, it's another Kittle smash spot. And I think Purdy's a way, you know, especially if Tyreek plays on the other side. Purdy's a good way for the 49ers to put up points this week, and that game could be a little sneaky too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, I do want to touch on that game with you, Maddie, because it's so gross that I feel like there actually could be some fantasy goodness with that, and we kind of have, you know, some spots, you know, we really have some narrow paths, I feel like, if we do want to stack that game. But I'm going to go back to the cheap quarterbacks first, because I think, you know, playing Penix is really fun because you have an easy run back there and Neighbors. We'll talk about the wide receiver, but he's only 6,100. And I mean, Drew Lock being on the other side, like they have no choice but to like this dude. He's been checked out of games. He's been demanding the ball, and like it's Drew Lock over there. Like Drew Lock loves to sling it. So I mean, Neighbors should be in for double digit targets. I think he's a very sharp play on a slate like this. I definitely want to have some exposure to him. And then getting to Penix on the other side, I mean, we're coming off of a Darnell Mooney donut game burger. I think he can definitely be involved. You know, it's always interesting to see who the backups have that rapport with. Like, you know, is he somebody who can unlock Kyle Pitts, who we've been leaning on, who's a cheap pivot off of a Britton Strange? You know, what's his rapport going to be with Drake London and such? But, I mean, there's so many dynamic weapons on either side. And I even think you could play Penix with Bijan as well if you want to and try and take that all the points in that offense. So he becomes a lot of fun. Richardson's the one that scares me. I think there's some injuries on the Colts side. I believe Pierce is out or not going to play. I think Pittman's going to be back healthy. Obviously Downs has been back, so he has weapons, but he's just been so Jekyll and Hyde all season long. I much rather would go to Caleb. No surprise there. Going to pick the homer boy, but I mean, he's Caleb's in a position where like, he's in play every week the way that his salary is because of the narrow distribution of targets. I mean, like, Cole Kmet has been an afterthought. They need him in line to block because the offensive line's been struggling. And the work that DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are getting is just absolutely absurd. And like you said, like, we saw this matchup before on Thanksgiving, and, you know, everybody wanted to play Caleb in that matchup. Now, granted, that was a 3-game slate. It was very different than an 11-game slate. But we know what this offense can do if they're hitting. I mean, that's the thing. Are they going to be hitting? They only have success when they're at home. They only have success when they go against the Lions. I mean, this was the thing with Justin Fields too. It's like something about when the Bears play the Lions that these teams want to show up. And, you know, I think that Thanksgiving game definitely is going to linger and has a taste in their mouth. This team hasn't won in 8 straight games. Like, I think they'll be hungry. But like DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are just, it's like Aaron Rodgers with Garrett Wilson and Devontae last week, except you're getting that offense for cheap. Aaron Rodgers had been struggling. He struggles all year, but we know what his upside is. We kind of know that Caleb has a little bit of upside too, if he's able to get it into the end zone, into the end zone. They actually have been pretty successful as a red zone offense. They just can't get there. So if they can have some success against a team that literally has their entire, like, how many dudes are on the Detroit Lions injury reserve right now, like on defense? It's insane. They have like 16 players on the injury reserve from their defense. So because they're really banged up, that really has me interested in Caleb. It's weird that he's the third highest price, but again, like, you're going to need value somewhere. And I think he makes a lot of sense. Now, outside of those three guys, Maddie, like, yeah, I think the San Fran and Miami game has the potential to be ugly, especially if Tyreek Hill is out. Like, if Tyreek Hill is out, I think I don't want anything to do with that game, because I actually am interested on the Tua side of the ball. This 49ers defense has kind of been reeling as of late. The last time we saw these 49ers play, you know, was against the Rams on what we thought was going to be a bonanza of an island game, and ends up being a 12-6, you know, barn burner there. But because there's no Jalen Waddle on the other side, even with it being a tough matchup for Jonnu, like, you love that Malik Washington was seeing some scheme targets last week as well too. I think he can step in and be a viable piece on a Tua stack. And, you know, you, Maddie, you're always talking about taking Tua stacks that have kind of Jalen Waddle there to kind of throttle him. But what if we can just replace Waddle with this guy Malik Washington, who had a pretty decent profile, like, coming out of college? He's 3,700. And, you know, if Tyreek is out there, like, you can always take shots on him, as Kev says, like, just going back to the well. He's 6,900 this week. Nice. And then you could take like a Kittle on the other side, or, you know, if people want to play Patrick Taylor or Juwan Jennings, you know, I think it's a lot better there. I kind of trust Tua more than Purdy, with it being a matchup on the road, and the 49ers are pretty much dead in the water with the way their season's been going. I can never bring myself to play Purdy stacks. I don't know, man. It just seems tough to me. But again, like, I think it is a good matchup for Kittle. Debo's dead, so you won't catch me playing him. And then the run game, we have no idea what to expect, so maybe that does mean more targets. But Miami still has something to play for in the tank, so I expect Tua to be full go. And I actually do like Devon Achane a lot, who we'll talk about at running back this week. So outside of that, man, I don't know. I'm not keen on paying up for Allen or Hurts this week. I actually do have interest in Saquon, we'll talk about. But, I mean, Hurts can obviously smash in any spot that he's in. He's 7,800. Like, he's going to go under-owned. I know that he is. You like that he got back on track with A.J. Brown this week. And if people go to Saquon, like, the, you know, immense pivot right there is just going Hurts and A.J. Brown and thinking that they just get all the points around them. I do think it's interesting you brought up Goff there, not just because you have that a couple of best ball teams that are relying on Goff this week, but you know, he is outdoors. We know all that comes out with that. I think this is only a second game outdoors this year, which is just absolutely absurd. But you know, they're going to need to lean on him, I think, a little bit more this week. And the Bears secondary has definitely given up some big plays, so he does make an interesting play. Before we keep moving, Maddie, I did want to kind of talk to you about Kyler here in this Carolina game. So we got the Arizona Carolina game. Arizona still has a little bit to play for. I mean, Bryce Young has been really stellar in his second stint. You know, after being benched, and it hasn't come to fruition in the box score all too much as of late, but, you know, he got a rushing touchdown last week, still hasn't passed for 2 touchdowns on the year in quite some time. But we could have a narrow, really, distribution of targets there coming from Bryce Young with the injuries to their wide receiver core. And then you have Kyler on the other side, which Kyler always, I feel like, gets in a conversation every week, it feels like, and I just never get to him. But he's 6,100 in what should be a prime matchup. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, and Kyler's a good pivot off Connor. You know, if Kyler takes the 1 yard rushing touchdowns or whatever, I know we haven't really seen a ton of that this year from Kyler, but you know, if the touchdowns go through Kyler, you know, he's gonna try to get McBride. I think he put a tweet out about it, didn't he? That McBride's gonna score. You know, so and Carolina's the worst defense at defending tight ends too. So, you know, I think there's definitely a path to the Cardinals just crushing through the air. You know, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is like what, $5,400. You know, he's been a touchdown, yeah, you know, dependent guy this year too. I mean, he's got 7 touchdowns. So, you know, his games that he's smashed have come when he scores. So, you know, it's possible. I mean, it's $6,100 too. That was the first team I checked on when I was looking at prices this week, was, you know, what price were the Cardinals guys? Cause Connor was going to be, you know, I figured he was going to be insanely popular, especially with Carolina, you know, dealing with all the injuries on offense that they have. You know, David Moore's banged up, Coker's banged up, Leggett's out. So really they're down to like Adam Thielen and that's it on offense, and Chuba. Yeah. You know, so they probably struggle to move the ball against what's been a pretty good Arizona defense this year. But that also lends itself to more possessions for Arizona to score, right? So Arizona legit could score 35 plus points without Carolina doing anything. So I think Kyler's definitely in play. So he's absolutely in consideration. And then one guy that we didn't really talk about, it's high priced, is Joe Burrow. I mean, every week Joey B is doing it, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And we know the stack. It's Jamar Chase, it's T Higgins, and it's Chase Brown with Burrow. And you get all the touchdowns for Cincinnati. And I know, man, if Winston was playing in this game, it would have been such an easy click to just click Winston or Burrow and load up, you know, Judy, load up, you know, the Bengals guys and just move on. With DTR, it's a little bit more challenging. But again, you know, the Bengals are playing for, you know, playing for their season. They're not going to just, you know, run the ball if they're up by, you know, 10 points. I mean, we've seen Burrow in, you know, especially in division games, put up points, you know, and blow the other team out. You know, the Ravens come to mind. Right. And you know, when they play the Steelers and the Browns, it's more of the same. And I just don't trust the Bengals defense to be able to stop anybody, really. It doesn't even really matter who's playing quarterback. So Burrow's going to be unowned. Yeah. Chase is going to be 18% is what I'm seeing. And T. Higgins is also going to be less than 5%. So you got Burrow 5%, Chase less than 20, and T less than 5. So
yeah, see, that's
everybody's
that's
playing kind of, Chase Brown.
Yeah, right. And that's what's crazy to me is, like, I mean, if Chase, like the Chase nuclear games, you want Burrow. I mean, it's just like, that's just the nature of it. Right. His games are so insane that they just help Burrow get so much closer to his bonuses and his production that, you know, he's not a guy that I look to take as a one-off piece all too often. You know, that feels like a cash game play, so to speak, for me. But in tournaments, yeah, you want that upside. If Chase is scoring, then let me get that scoring correlated as well with the quarterback as well too. Yeah, I mean, we talk about every week, like Burrow could just be opening up the slate, and like Burrow's, you know, got 250 yards, 2 touchdowns at halftime. It's been absolutely insane what this offense has been doing. So yeah, on a slate that's pretty ugly and there's not a lot of certainty, just take the offense that has been full go mode and really like needs to win. Like it doesn't even matter. Like they need to win out and they need a little bit of help for them to get into the playoffs. And some help has already been done for them based off of what's been happening at the end of week 15 to start this week. So definitely like that call for Burrow there. Let's talk about running back, Maddie. Running back's a really interesting slate this week because, like you said, I mean, we got Gibbs, who's just, I mean, he's 7,500. There's no Montgomery going against the Bears. Like he's the chalk, and he should be. If you're playing cash games, you start your lineup with
even tournaments. T-Phil asking a question here. What's up, guys? New sub here. Do I eat the chalk this week on Gibbs and McBride? I mean, yeah, even in tournaments, you can play those guys. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, Gibbs is out, like, you know, is he going to put up 40? I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he won't. But 25 is like, I mean, this dude gets 25 when Montgomery is in the lineup. I mean, they're just going to scheme so many looks to him. And you know, when you're looking at the guys who are backing him up, I think there's a rookie there. There's Craig Reynolds, who does, you know, he's more like a plotter type of back. So we know what the workload is for Gibbs, and he's just a fine play, a really great play, not just a fine play. He's a great play. But of course, you know, in my mindset, I'm always looking to get contrarian. I mean, that's really what got me on Caleb as well too. I think, you know, it makes a ton of sense if Jahmyr Gibbs is popping and he's putting up the points, Caleb has to play from behind. You you can get that stack that way. But there are guys that are priced around him that are, you know, intriguing. I mentioned Bijan with Michael Penix at 8,100. I'm really interested in him. It's just, you know, he kind of has that floor, but really hasn't shown like that beat you upside, so to speak. I mean, you know, the 32-point burger he put up earlier this year was very nice, but I mean, he's just really in that 20-point range. So at 8K, you know, I think that you maybe have to think about it a little bit, but this is the Giants. So, like, you know, we don't know what they're going to do with Penix when they get down the red zone. They might feed Bijan like three touchdowns in this game. It's incredible. And then Saquon, I really do have some interest in him. Had a great game against Washington earlier this year. They're on the road there. It's just a, you know, always nice to get some tie to the Philly team total whenever you can. And if people don't want to play Barkley, I will. I did mention Devon Achane, and like Devon is just going to be in my player pool, especially without Waddle. And of course, if there's no Tyreek Hill, I don't know how I can get away from him with the scheme usage looks that he's been getting. And so like it might be a Gibbs and Achane week for me. And I'll just look to do elsewhere. There's really not a lot that I like this week outside of the 7K guys, Maddie. I mean, Patrick Taylor will be popular because he's the next guy. There's no Garendo, there's no Jordan Mason, there's no Christian McCaffrey. He's 5,200, but like I don't know if he can handle a workload that they would want to give him. I mean, he's 5,200, so go ahead. I'd much rather play Jerome Ford at 5,600. Going against Cincinnati. I mean, the Cincinnati team can't stop anybody, as you said. We've seen Jerome Ford in a backup role fill in very nicely. Like, yeah, he might not be out there catching passes, but it's a rookie or not a rookie, but a quarterback that doesn't have much upside that he's, you know, going to be complimenting. And like with Cincinnati D on the other side, like I'm interested in Jerome Ford. And I'll take that. I mean, it sucks that Kenneth Walker's back because I would have played Charbonnet in this matchup against Minnesota. Breece Hall is kind of intriguing to me at 6,100. We talked about him last week, Maddie. It didn't matter because the wide receiver smashed, but he was coming back off of that injury. He's 6,100, sees the price decrease. Only had a couple attempts there, but, you know, he still was getting looks when they got into the red zone. So he's intriguing to me. But what stands out to you, Maddie? Because I'm not getting much out of the pay-up guys this week.
It's same exact guys for me. The 7K guys, I mean, Gibbs, Chase Brown, James Conner. I like the Bijan call. He's at 81. Achane, I love the Achane call at 7.4. And then outside, I mean, so it's really those five as like, you know, they're the clear cut. And then if you were making me pick somebody who I have interest in that's outside of that group, I mean, Abdullah's semi-interesting, you know, at his price. I don't think you need him this week, but you know, given all the good running back plays that we do have, but he's playing Jacksonville. He's 4,600, and on any other slate, it's tough to click it. But Aaron Jones at 6,400 against Seattle. I mean, Seattle has been awful against running backs. I mean, we saw Josh Jacobs absolutely obliterate them last week. I mean, that's Jacobs so touched the ball every single play of the first drive last year and scored a touchdown. So Seattle's just horrible against running backs, and Aaron Jones is, you know, it's almost like they've been kind of saving him for this, you know, this playoff push. He's interesting. He's 6,400. He's going to be totally overlooked, being That's priced around call. All those other guys like Achane and such. But if you were making me pick somebody that's not the obvious guys, it would be Aaron Jones.
Yeah, that's a nice call. He would have seen more work too, if they didn't have that game completely, you know, wrapped up against Chicago. So he was just getting whatever he wanted against that defense. So yeah, he's definitely been nice. It's been nice to see his workload go up over the past couple of weeks. I did want to also bring up Maddie, like Tony Pollard has been on the injury report in that game against Indy. So we could get a Tajay Spears, you know, backfield to himself. Mm-hmm. He's 4,900. I would definitely have a lot of interest in him. Should that be the case? It's coming off of a 7-target game, which is outrageous.
Which is why I would have interest in him, is because I think Mason Rudolph is going to just check it down to him a ton.
Right. And I believe that was in a Levis game, right? Last week
it was both. They both played.
Okay,
it was Mason Rudolph late when he was checking it down.
Yeah, so I mean that really would jump out the page and definitely change a lot of things for me. It might even be a three running back week for me if that were the case, but definitely something to monitor as Tony Pollard's kind of done this like kind of all year. He's been on the injury report like well into Friday, even into Saturday, and then we kind of get that inactive report when Shefty releases it on Sunday, whether he's in or out. So we might not, you know, there might only be 90 minutes for people to react to news, and we know at that point, like a lot of people have already built out their team. So I don't know what Spears' ownership will be come that point, but really interested in him. Real quick, Maddie, Chuba Hubbard at 6,800, like, you know, with the way in that same game against Arizona, I mean, his workload had been strong up until most recently, but with all the injuries that they're dealing with at wide receiver, like, do you think that Chuba could get some more work here in this matchup?
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to get a boost to pass catching upside, but again, with the injuries they have, I struggle to see a way that Carolina puts up points and without them scoring touchdowns. You know, it's just hard for me to have a ton of interest in a guy that's priced up that where, you know, I don't have confidence that their offense is going to be, you know, in a ton of scoring opportunities. So I think he's fine. I think his floor is safe. I just don't think he's got a tournament ceiling this week.
That's fair. Yeah. It's tough because he had such a surefire role. You know, just even a couple weeks back, and now we've seen that kind of deplete a little bit, which makes him, you know, I mean, now that 6,800, like you could just find a couple hundred dollars more to get to HN and Brown, and of course Gibbs if he's not already in your lineup, or even Connor for that matter. So yeah, it makes it tough to click on him, but yeah, that game could be really interesting in Carolina and Arizona. I haven't really, like I said, I kind of wrote that off a little bit, but I might have to come back to that. Let's talk about wide receiver, Maddie, because I really think this is where the goodness comes in. Running back's been pretty straightforward the past couple weeks for us here over at the DGen Nation. But with wide receiver this week, I mean, you mentioned it, like Chase, you know, even at 18%, you know, he could be definitely getting overlooked potentially in stacks. He's 8,500. I mean, the way that he's, you know, kind of blown up in some games this year, you would think that he'd be a little bit more higher priced than this, but 8,500 is where he comes in at. Puka Nacua at AK, I mean, his role has just been so solidified. It's really tough to like not see him popping, you know, in models this week, especially with what Brian Thomas just did to this Jets defense not too long ago. I really do like Cooper Kupp this week, though. I mean, he's 6,500. You're getting a $1,500 discount. Like, yeah, he's coming off of a 3-target, 0-burger game, but we know what his upside could be, and it's like, people just will forget about him, and he's going to, you know, he's going to play the slot. Like, he's going to have a favorable matchup, and I could just see him getting peppered, you know, and nobody will play him, Maddie, because of what happened last week to start off, you know, fantasy playoffs for some people and things like that. I mean, if I'm playing that game, like, I'm definitely going to Cooper Kupp, and I even have interest in him on an island because of what his production has been, and he just won't be accounted for as such. But I had to bring him up when talking about Puka because Puka's just been so strong. Davante Adams is, I mean, you can call it chasing, but the way that his production has been over the past couple weeks at 7,100, I'm going to need to have some exposure to Davante Adams in that game. I really do kind of like that game as a mini stack or maybe a game two stack because we know those offenses are high powered if they get going. But it feels like the Miami and Houston game for me last week where I stacked that as well too. And it was like, this can either dud or if it takes off, like it's going to win everything. So, I like that game on the slate. Malik Nabers, as I mentioned, 6,100, he's too cheap. He's a great play. I know he'll be popular, but you know, in the way that this Giants team is standing up, and I think Tyrone Tracy is on the injury report if I'm not mistaken too. So he could just get schemed a ton of work. I don't see how he doesn't get double-digit targets against this Atlanta defense, who's honestly going to be popular this week, Maddie. I don't know if you've seen defensive ownership, but I know they're priced up. Yeah, everybody wants to play the Giants, but I think they're like 3,700 this week, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? Yeah, they're the highest-priced defense.
Yeah, 3,700, but they're not. They're only 2%.
They're not high-owned?
No, 2%.
Okay. Well, that would have been good leverage. But either way, I mean, Malik Nabers, he's coming down. I think the Carolina guys are interesting to talk about. I mean, it's Thielen and, you know, potentially maybe David Moore if he comes back for a concussion. Jalen Coker's on the injury report. Laquette's already been ruled out. That's an interesting spot there. The Chicago pieces are all interesting. I mean, Keenan Allen, I don't know why they don't price him up from 5,300, because the work that this dude is getting from Caleb is absolutely insane. I mean, the first read targets for him have been incredible since the Thomas Brown kind of takeover in Chicago. And he's real, like I said, I mean, this dude is pretty much like the offensive play caller for their team. And it seems like he's just calling all the plays to himself. But no, in all reality, Caleb just finds like him as the security blanket and really leans on him. So I think he's interesting. Of course, DJ Moore, I think, will be popular at 5,700. But I think you can take DJ Moore and Keenan both. They're just too cheap in that offense. I mentioned Malik Washington earlier when I was talking about Tua. He's a great play for me at 3,700 at that price. I mean, there's so many ways to go this week with stacks. So who are your favorite, like, one-off guys? Who are your favorite stacking guys? And I'll talk about one more, but I want to toss it over to you, Maddie.
Yeah, I'm not going to be too different from you. I'll start it with the Keenan Allen. You just mentioned him. He's actually led the team in target share since they switched coordinators. Right. And the guy calling plays, like you said, has been one of his coaches that he's had with the Chargers. So, you know, it's a familiar face. And I think that's been by design a little bit. And now they play the Lions again, who, you know, he had a zero. You know, we were talking about it at halftime on Thanksgiving, right? It was like Keenan Allen, 60% owned, everybody played him, and he's got 0 points at half. And then, you know, he scores 20 points in the second half, catches two touchdowns. But the Lions, they just give up. They're like bottom of the league in terms of allowing slot production. So Keenan Allen's a really good play at 5,300. I like him a lot. I think his role is solid, and the matchup's really good. So even if you're not playing Caleb, I think he's a good play. I mentioned the Bengals guys, Jamar and Tier, obviously great plays against Cleveland. Love the Puka call. He's in play every week at 8K. I think 8K is just too cheap for him, to be honest. I mean, he's got a 40-point upside every week. You know, Neighbors, 6,100, again, too cheap. It just feels like all the receivers this week are just too cheap, and you know, they're all in good spots. Like Neighbors against Atlanta, 6,100. Brian Thomas Jr., 6,300 against Vegas. London, 6,400 with what should hopefully be an upgrade at quarterback against the Giants. Jacoby Myers on the other side of that Vegas-Jacksonville game at 5,800. And one, you know, we talked about Aaron Jones, but the other side of that game, you know, Vikings have been giving up a ton of points to opposing wide receivers, and the Seattle Seahawks receivers are free. JSN is 6K and Metcalf is 5,500. Like, how do you not have interest in either of those guys? And Geno's even 5'7". I mean, we didn't talk about him, but I mean, talk about a team, you know, Kenneth Walker is going to come back. You know, he's been banged up with a calf issue. And you can't run the ball in Minnesota. They're top of the league.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In terms of defending the run, so you have to throw against them. You can throw against them. So I think we see a ton of volume through the air for Seattle. And, you know, they've from early part of the year, you know, they were throwing the ball a ton. So I think they might get back to that. And these guys are free. So I like JSN a lot. I like DK a lot. And, you know, I like Aaron Jones on the other side of that game. So that's one of my favorite minis of the week. But yeah, outside of that, I mean, I think you touched on the majority of them. The other guy that I'll comment seems to be a bit too cheap. I mentioned Marvin Harrison when we talked about Kyler. He's 5,400, but Devontae Smith is 5,800. That guy's just way too talented to be that cheap. 13 targets last week against Pittsburgh. This is a big game. They're playing for the division lead, and Philly's still alive for the one overall seed. So, you know, they're gonna look to throw the ball when they have opportunities, and Devontae Smith is obviously their number two receiver, closely behind AJ Brown. So, 5,800 for him seems a little bit too cheap for a guy that can easily score over 20 points.
Yeah, no, that's a great call there. I think it's, you know, we can't forget about these guys who have popped off and who have done a lot, and he's even coming off of a 100-yard game, you know. So I think I think there is some merit to getting to, you know, some Hurts stacks, potentially Hurts doubles because of the way Saquon's outlook could start to look. And you know, I mean, it's Jalen Hurts or it's Saquon. Like, the points are got to come from somewhere. And this team has shown the propensity to get 3 or 4 touchdowns every week. So it's just where do you see those touchdowns going? So I think that's super sharp. Yeah, there's nobody who's probably happier that Aiden O'Connell is potentially coming back than Jacoby Myers, who's at 5,800. And let's not forget about what his outlook had been with Aiden O'Connell before Ridder came in and took over. So, like, definitely going to have interest in Jacoby Myers as well there, probably in mini stacks of that game. I brought up Cup, Maddie. Just what are your feelings on him? You're not touching him?
No, I'm good. I'd rather just play Puka. I mean, it's like, you know, every week that I think about playing Cup, you know, then the game plays out and it's like Puka is, he's just the number one receiver in that offense. They go to him all the time. And, you know, I know Cup's insane. He's 6,500. His price is crazy low for what we're, you know, accustomed for him. But I mean, you know, he's only really had one ceiling game in the last year. And that's the 31 points he scored against New England a few weeks ago. I mean, outside of that, you know, 0 against San Fran, 4 against the Saints, 15 against Miami, you know, 16 against Minnesota, 7 against Arizona. So like, yeah, he can legit kill you. And even his good games have only been 20. So, you know, he just really hasn't shown a ceiling. And so I'm out on him. I think if I was going to play an expensive guy that's not Jamar Chase this week or Puka, we didn't talk about him, but Amon-Ra with no Monty. You look back at the three games that Monty didn't play last year, Amon-Ra saw 10 plus targets in each game. So it's like he's de facto their extension of the run game when they're missing one of their two normal running backs. I think, you know, if you think Chicago can push the pace at all, we legit could see another 18 target game for Amon-Ra.
Yeah, and it's been weird too, because like the way that the Bears have been playing, you know, and it was the Vikings that they just saw second matchup, and like you could tell that they Vikings were trying to scheme work to Jefferson early, even though that, you know, he had a tougher matchup, but they, you know, give him the touchdown to the end zone, and then, you know, Addison and Hawkinson, they just have better matchups, so they were just so much easier able to eat. Like, I think that this really sets up for a spot where Amon-Ra could just be that guy. They could just give him usage. It's the second time facing this team. And, like, you know, Jameson doesn't have that same profile. Even, like, Laporta almost, like, hasn't been used in that same way. And so we could see a heavy volume game for Amon-Ra, who would definitely go over. Like, so, he makes an interesting play in game stacks for that route. Any interest in I mean, what can we even play Buffalo wide receivers? Is that even a thing? As we're coming off of the week where Amari Cooper was, you know, one of the most chalky receivers in that late window, and like the game takes off and it's just Josh Allen again by himself.
No, and I wish I would have been on with you guys last week, because I would have mentioned, you know, that Keon Coleman had been out previously and he was coming back, and you know, there's just no telling, you know, what kind of rotation those guys end up with when they're all healthy. And so with how chalky Amari was getting, you know, obviously at 5,300, you know, he had a good outlook from his double digit target game the week before, but you know, you throw in that additional player who's had a real role in the offense. I mean, Allen trusts Keon Coleman, and Coleman's, you know, gotten a lot of the deep looks too, which is what we want out of Amari. So, you know, that's what concerns me with Amari, is with Keon Coleman being back, it kind of takes away, you know, that deep role where Shakir and Samuel play and the tight ends play more of the safety blanket underneath.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you on that. Yeah, fun week at wide receiver. I think there's definitely going to be some fun ways to play that. But yeah, I think I'm going to be leaning into the game stacks and just really, you know, hoping that those guys take off as opposed to the one-offs, man. That's been the name of the game all year, and I'm just gonna lead into it as we're 16 weeks in. So it's always, you know, it's never too late to learn some lessons in this game of DFS that we play. All it takes is one week.
Yep.
Maddie, tight end, man. We got high priced guys who are in stellar spots. We got low priced guys who are in stellar spots. It's gonna be an interesting one. I know you don't like to play two tight ends usually, but I mean the two tight end slate might present itself. I mean, Strange, you know, he's priced up 1,000 at 3,500 and still feels too cheap with the work that he's been seeing since taking over for the injured Evan Ingram. I know there's some other cheap guys who are down here as well who will stand out. I mean, Hunter Henry in that game against Buffalo, like the only way that people have had success against Buffalo is just they just give up so much between the 20s that, you know, he could still get peppered with targets. Still doesn't have, you know, quite the upside I think that Strange has, but he's definitely in play. You know, Hockenson's work has been strong. Njoku's again on the injury report. I'm not sure if we see a status with him, but again, it's DTR who's going to be throwing the ball, but that would just put a cheap Akins back into the mix as well. But the guys who are at the top, I mean, Bowers, McBride, Kittle, like how do you not have interest in these guys? And possibly even Jonnu, even if the touch matchup, because there's no Waddle and potentially like Tyreek, even more banged up than we're accustomed to. So like these guys at the top really have a chance to put the slate out of reach. I probably would rank them for me, McBride, Bowers, then Kittle. You're right. Like I have been on Kittle pretty much all year, like whether it be showdown slates or main slates. And it's definitely came close to having me ship something, especially that game against the Bears there. But, you know, without Trent Williams, without a run game, so to speak, I mean, we'll see what they're able to do with you know, Keyshawn Vaughn and Patrick Taylor and these guys. But I think that, you know, I'm not sure. Maybe they do scheme some stuff out to Kittle to get it going, of course. But I am worried a little bit about San Fran. McBride, I think, is just he just is doing so much without the touchdowns. If this guy ends up scoring, you know, once, if not twice, then like he's just going to get 30 points and you're going to want to have them. And then Bowers with Aiden O'Connell back, I don't think anything needs to be said for that. So what do you think of that tight end position and what are you going to be doing with your builds?
I'm not playing 40% Britton Strange. I don't care, you know, what his game was last week. I know he led the league in expected fantasy points at tight end, but you know, $3,500 is definitely cheap, but we talked about all those cheap receivers, you know, that we can get. I can't do it. I
love that call, Maddie. I mean, you got to take stance, and no surprise that the Godfather himself would come in after
as we're talking tight end, you know,
but you got to take stance. And I like your approach on that this week, because we could look at it and be like, wow, everybody just really just chased the points.
I think that these top, like you said, Ryan, I think the top guys at tight end are really good this week. Like Jonnu with possibly no Tyreek and no Waddle, like he's going to smash. Right. Brock Bowers getting O'Connell back, he's going to smash Jacksonville. McBride hasn't caught a touchdown all year. Murray tweeted that he's going to get him a touchdown. He could catch three this game, you know, and he's been scoring 20 points, you know, in games without touchdowns. You know, so what does he do when he catches right. two or three, right? So he gets up to 36. So it's like, you know, I just think there's going to be two tight ends that score 30 this week, and I don't want to play a 10-point Brenton Strange.
Godfather, Kevin Steele at FantasyRat13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. He comes in and joins the DGEN Nation pod as we are breaking down the Week 16 main slate. Kev, talk to the people, man. How you doing? How you feeling?
Good. Happy you guys were able to hold it down. So let's start at the top. Let's get back to start at quarterback, right? We're doing.
Yeah. You're more than welcome to rip it off.
Yeah, rip if you want. Talk about tight end first, and then
you might as well talk about tight end while we're here, and then you can go back.
I think when you look at the top, I definitely agree. I think I kind of came in at the end. Kind of you were talking about Bowers, McBride. I think those are in play. I'm not as high on Janu just because of Fred Warner. He just does an excellent job. And they got a Nufongu back as well. Like they just shut down tight ends. And so like I don't love Janu as much. I get it. Tyreek's playing. I fully expect him to play. Waddle's not going to play, but so I'm not as high on him. And Njoku sounds like he's going to play too. So like I think he comes into play. But problem is, I'm sure you guys have already talked about it. It absolutely just pains me that we don't get Jameis. Like that game should have set up to be just phenomenal. Yep. Now, at least on the Cleveland side, I don't love it as much. But I will say in the games that DTR played with last year, Njoku saw 10-plus targets in all three of the games that he started. So I think that he's definitely still in play at $5,200. So I don't mind going there. Hunter Henry, I think, is a good play. Britton Strange is a good play at $3,500. I mean, he's getting that Evan Engram bump because of, you know, he's like we saw last week, what he saw 14 targets, I think it was last week.
You meant 40% because that's what he's projecting for.
I mean, we talked a lot about Kate Otten, right? Whenever he was $3,500 and he was going to be chalk, like it's a similar spot. I mean, they don't have anybody else to throw the ball to. It's a good matchup against the Raiders. So like, It's hard to like hate it. I don't mind it. I do think Gesicki is also a really strong play. Tanner Hudson is out, so that is going to free up some more opportunities for someone like Mike Gesicki. I think you could go there as well for a cheaper option if you wanted to. But yeah, I mean, I think those are the guys that you really should be looking at. Now, if Zach Ertz doesn't play, now he is questionable. We'll see if he clears concussion protocols because if he doesn't,
Ryan, now we're getting the good stuff here.
Now you get Ben Sinnott, who's $2,800.
Kev's
special. It's not even Kev's special. I mean, he is a second round pick from this year's draft. I mean, he was thought of to be the number two tight end from this class last year, and he's a phenomenal play. I mean, so if Zach Ertz is out, and so he's $2,800, super athletic tight end, kind of been waiting all year. We kind of saw this with Trey McBride, with Zach Ertz with the Cardinals, where he was blocking him. He never really got any opportunity, and then once Zach Ertz went down, he exploded. And I think Ben Sinnott, while I'm not saying that he's going to be Trey McBride, he's going to give you that kind of production, he definitely is at $2,800 can get you 5 to 7 targets, and I think he's definitely good enough to be able to score some points. So $2,800 Ben Sinnott would be in play too.
No, I mean, let's think of, I mean, it's the special, it always comes in. I would much rather play Strange than Sinnott, even at the ownership, because that Washington just doesn't have the propensity to have the passing outlook, the volume to be there. But very.
You don't think they're going to have to, though, this week? I mean, they're playing Philly. I mean, they're not playing. I mean, and this is like they're fighting for their playoff lives here. And so I think they're going to, and you can't really run the ball against the Eagles. So like, they're going to have to throw.
Their identity is run, though, and I mean that's what they did last time, right? Like they're just gonna have to try and keep them off the field. I feel like so they're gonna let Jaden and they're gonna let Brian cook, but
they don't have Noah Brown either. So it's you don't have Austin Eckler. I mean, who are you throwing the ball to?
Well, I mean Ben will be out there, I guess, but Terry McLaurin will be out there, right? So that's where he's going to go, and he'll go to Diami, and he'll pass the ball around. I don't think that he's shown the propensity to just make all these guys explosive. I think that they'll try. It's an interesting look, and I'm glad that you brought it up, but I would still much rather take Strange in a spot where we've seen it before, and I think that the volume could just be a little bit higher there. Because I don't know. I mean, these games are weird. Again, this is a divisional game too, Kev, that we always talk about, and like, We know what the Washington Commanders want to do, so I don't think they'll stray too much from that. Just with even having guys off the field.
Yes, fair. I just like I said, I think for me, more than anything, I really want to try to get to those top two guys, McBride and Bowers. I think those are the two clear cut plays, and I think Laporta would also be in play too.
I mentioned Amon-Ra getting a boost in games that Monty missed. Laporta also got a big target boost in the games last year that when Monty didn't sit, and this year.
Yeah. So I think he's also in play.
You want to run it back up for the people?
So here's what I'll say. I don't know.
Give your place.
I don't know who all you guys talked about, which is probably good. Cause then I get to say whatever. And I think for me, I think one of the best game environments is the Miami game. I love that in the game environment against San Francisco. I don't know how popular Patrick Taylor is going to be, but I really don't have any interest in playing him. I kind of look at the early projections, like he's not as high. But you cannot run the ball against Miami. Miami has shut down so many running backs this year. And so I don't think you're going to be able to run the ball against them. And so I think then that opens up the passing game for – so I love Brock Purdy. I love George Kittle. Yeah. I love Juwan Jennings. I think that's a really good stack. So I love that spot. The Bears, I think – I kind of heard at the very beginning you guys were kind of talking about that. Love the Bears. With DJ Moore, great schematic matchup for DJ Moore. They run a ton of single high safety. That is good news. I would love Robadunzi, but they just – Caleb Williams cannot throw the deep ball this year. I just cannot connect on a deep ball. It is so frustrating, but it is scary. But at the same time, the Lions defense is so incredibly banged up that, and with their offense. Now, the only thing that would worry me is the Lions offense doesn't get going, because we have seen Jared Goff in cold weather games really struggle in his career. Like, he has not played well in cold weather games. It's only his second outdoor game all year. That would be the only concern I have, is that maybe that game doesn't take off the way you think. Because of that. But other than that, I do like the Bears as another really good stack with DJ Moore. I don't mind Keenan Allen either. We kind of saw that earlier in the year, whenever. But Keenan Allen, three of his last four games, he scored 20 DK points or more. So I think those are the top in terms of like the top two that I really want to look at. I don't know what you guys came in on Michael Penix in that situation. I don't know how they're going to play this. Like, I know he's $4,500, and initially I was like, man, this is awesome. Great news. You know, this offense has been so bad with Kirk Cousins. But at the same time, you're playing the Giants. Like, do they just run the ball 65% of the time and really limit the upside of Michael Penix, even though he's $4,500? But does he even get there? Because, like, do they really need to go out and really ask him to throw the ball a ton in a spot like this? I mean, they're still in the playoff. I think they have, like, a 40% right. chance of making the playoffs. So, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's really worth to get there when it comes to him. And so I think it's – I don't know where you guys came in on him. But I think he's in – but I think you could still look there. But I don't know what his ownership looked like. It's getting up there. So maybe you stay away from that. And then I think Anthony Richardson is also in play at $5,400. I think he's a pretty decent play as well. The Titans defense is one we're that worried about. They're at home. We know he can get there on the ground. He has, you know, 40 or more rushing yards in four of the last five games. He can get a ceiling game from him. He scored 29 a few weeks ago against the Jets. $5,400. It kind of condenses things a little bit. Alec Pierce is out. So that may be where you could maybe look at. Maybe A.D. Mitchell. I hate myself for even saying it. But, but like, maybe he gets there, because that's kind of been the blocking. But I still think, you know, Josh Downs, incredible play. Love Josh Downs. At cost, came back last week, saw eight targets, like him. And then lastly, I think the Rams and Jets game could really get there as well. Whether you want to go on the Aaron Rodgers side or you want to go to the Matt Stafford side, I think that is also a game environment we should really look at as that could go there.
I love it. Yeah, we did talk about, of course, Penix, Richardson, and Caleb, I think, are the three highest owned quarterbacks, as mm-hmm. it looks like, on this slate. For me, it was Caleb 1, Penix 2, Richardson 3. I do share your reservations with Penix, Kev, but I think that I think they play Washington next week, if I'm not mistaken, for the playoff picture there. Like, if they're throwing Penix out there, like, what better way to get him, you know, some work to get going than against the Giants? Like, I think that they wouldn't have pulled the plug on Kirk if they really didn't think that this dude could, you know, have the upside. Now, we did talk about Bijan as well, too. I think that, you know, he's going to be a real, really solid play this week. But you could play both of them together and try and get all the offensive production there from Atlanta if they're able to get Wills up here. I mean, that place is going to be rocking for Penix. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. And he's only $4,500. It does feel more like a cash play than GPP play, to be honest. But I'd have some interest in tournaments, depending on the size of the field, to be able to get to some studs.
Yeah, I mean, and then at running back, because you guys come in, are you guys just going to play 100% Jahmyr Gibbs?
I mean, I think you have to. I mean, we said pretty much the 7K guys are who we want to play. Gibbs, Brown, Connor, with some Bijan at 8,100. Achan, really great play on the other side of that San Francisco game. He's your run back, for me at least, at 7,400. And then Abdullah, assuming Sincere McCormick is out, is fine at 46. We might get Tajay Spears at 49. And then I said my sneaky play, if you made me go off the board, would be Aaron Jones against Seattle.
Yeah, I think I agree with all that. James Cook is an incredible play too against the Patriots, 7K. It does somewhat concern you that maybe they go away from him. Maybe Ray Davis, he's a little bit more in the second half. They really throttle him, but it sets up as a really strong play. I actually think he's probably a better play than James Conner, because James Conner worries me, because I think he's at his cost at 7,100. I don't know what his true ceiling is. Like, can he produce? Like, I know last week he's coming off a 30-point game, but that's typically not as much as what we've seen. Like, I think he's a really strong play, but I also think he's going to be really chalky. And so, maybe getting away from a little bit of that chalk and going to a James Cook who's 7K, or Jonathan Taylor at $6,900 profile, similarly, where they're not going to be as highly owned.
Aren't they without their backup running back this week?
The Cardinals?
Yeah. Isn't Benson?
Yeah, no, they're actually about with both. I mean, they're not going to have
Dallas's Bengals.
Amari,
man, Ryan, that Kyler Murray call, man. Maybe it's a Kyler game.
It might be. Oh, my God. Could never trust that dude. But, yeah, we might be back at it again.
Yeah. Are you guys playing Patrick Taylor?
No.
I'm not playing him.
No. I think there's six really, really good running backs.
I'd rather play Ford.
Yeah, if I was picking a cheap one, it'd be Abdullah, Ford, Spears over Taylor. Because they're going to mix in, what's his name? How do you pronounce it? Abi Nakanda or whatever it is?
Abanaconda?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one.
I do wonder if that could happen, and a lot of people play Patrick Taylor, and it's not him.
Oh,
it could be Keyshawn Vaughn, your boy.
I'm only seeing 3% for Patrick Taylor, so he currently doesn't have any steam.
Well, that's good. And then a wide receiver, you got. I mean, I assume the value there is Malik Washington is a great value play.
Yeah,
but he's going to be really. Everybody's going to play him. Jalen Coker is also a really good value play. I think those are the two most clear and obvious.
He might not play.
Yeah, we'll see. I would expect that he plays. It doesn't sound like Xavier Legette is. Oh yeah, Legette's not playing, so it's pretty much him and Thielen. But I think he probably plays in that
they
one.
They definitely need him.
I think those are the two clear and obvious values at wide receiver. And then you probably, I think, like I said, AD Mitchell, you possibly could go there, but I don't know, man. Like, I've tried that game so much that it just doesn't ever play out. But
yep, same.
At the top, I mean, there's some really incredible plays at top too. I mean, Jamar Chase in an incredible spot. Puka Nacua is an incredible play. Amon Ross St. Brown's a really good play. I think all of those dudes are in phenomenal spots. Brian Thomas, I'm going right back to that. Well, had a ton of them last week. He's a great play. Malik Nabers, I think, is fine at cost of 6,100. With Drew Lock starting at quarterback. And then Jacoby Myers, I think, is another really good play. And then, like I said, DJ Moore is way too cheap. DK Metcalf, that's what I wanted to bring up. Mike McDonald talked about this, and the offensive coordinator both said that basically it's inexcusable how much DK Metcalf's volume has been seeing, that they need to get him the ball more. And so
Seahawks are free this week.
And
Minnesota.
So DK Metcalf, $5,500 feels
JSN 6K, Geno's 5'7". You can't run the ball against Minnesota. Them with those three guys with Aaron Jones is a really fun stack.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like Metcalf getting shots there. I mean, he should be. That is too cheap. They finally dropped his price down because he hasn't done as much, but he should be rostered more than that. So, and I think that's. I mean, I don't need to go any more further than that. I think those are the guys that pretty much you need to hit on, and you guys probably already talked through the rest. So. So we're caught up.
All right. So defense.
Defense, where are we at, boys? Falcons 3,700 is your highest priced defense this week. Have fun with that. Colts defense really standing out to me going against Mason Rudolph there. I'll have a lot of interest in them at 3K. Maddie, what's your defensive lean looking at this week, and who are you looking to pay down for? As I know you like to save that salary.
I mean, the Bengals' defense has been horrible, but they're playing DTR. It's hard not to like them. 3,300 against at home against Cleveland.
It's kind of crazy, 3,300 for them
as I know, as they've been. Their defense has been horrible. They did have 19 points last week against Tennessee. They 10 against Vegas, 15 against Cleveland when they played them last time.
That's what I was about to say. So actually recently, the last three games they played, their defense actually played much better. So I think the Bengals are an elite play with DT.
Yeah, I probably just play the Bengals at 3,300. And when the week started, I really liked Minnesota because it was looking like Geno Smith was going to be questionable. And if they were going to run out.
Sam Howell.
Yeah, Sam Howell again. I was just going to lock button Minnesota. But even with Geno, I mean, Geno's going to play a little banged up with his knee. But if he plays, I mean, the Vikings are fine too because they blitz a lot. So it's Vikings and Bengals for me. They're essentially the same price.
Yeah. Kev, what say you?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, Cincinnati's a great play. Colts are an excellent play. The Falcons, I think all three of those are in play. If you're looking for like a really cheap option, I don't know. Maybe you go with the Giants. I mean, like if Penix does struggle out the gate and you know they do have, sounds like Brian Burns should play, which is good news. They don't have Dexter Lawrence, which is a problem, but I don't know. That might be too thin, but the Titans as well, because we know Anthony Richardson at times can turn the ball over. The Titans defense hasn't been terrible this year. They're $2,600, but in terms of everything else, like I just think you probably just pay up a little bit more and just get to the Colts and the Bengals. I think those two are the ones that make the most sense, so they're not overly expensive. Or the Bills. If you can get to the Bills at $3,600, they're also incredible play. I mean, the Bills defense, I know that last 2 weeks hasn't been great, but they turn the ball over at one of the highest rates in the league. They also, Drake May has now taken four or more sacks in four of his last five, and he's turned the ball over in five straight games. So, Bills look like a really solid play.
Yeah, Bills have an incredible box score. Like, when you look through the game logs, like, there's no way that they should be, that the Falcons should be higher priced than them. I don't care that they're going against the Giants. The Bills have wreaked havoc. I do like the call out for Tennessee there, Kev, because I mean, they've been solid, and like they allowed 37 points to Cincinnati and they still put up eight. Like, so I mean, if they're able to, you know, keep containment on Anthony Richardson, they could be in for a big day. That'll probably be my favorite pay down there. All right, fellas, what do you say we build a lineup for the people and we can get up on out of here. It's the week 16. Breakdown of the main slate for the Degeneration podcast. A fun little breakdown, one that's very out of the ordinary, as we had Ken come in and do rapid fire for you guys for 10 minutes. But, you know, he still had to get his takes in. It's the Godfather. He gets to come in and get his takes no matter what. So it'll be fun to do the build with him now that he's back. And I told Kev last week, Maddie, that he would get to start it again, even though it was just us two. But it's been a while since Kev has been the first one to start a build with the three of us, and since he was, of course, you know, so late, casually late, we'll let him start the build this week. So, Kev, where are we going with our week 16 main build for the DJ Nation?
Jay Ryan.
Kyler. Stack it up, baby.
Let's go. Let's just put Coker in there in case he plays. If not, we obviously can pivot. But we'll get a little game start going.
Bijan.
Chase Brown.
Oh, shit. Okay. Let's go neighbors. 38-6-6 left for wide receiver, flex, and defense.
Actually, change Brown to Gibbs and give us 200 extra to play with.
Let's try it. Roma Dunze.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy. Ryan, I'll give you what you want in flex. I'll take the defense. Trying to find taking? Room. Give me just put the Bengals in. 3-4.
$100 short of strange. Let's see what we got here.
I mean, you can play strange if you want, and then you can play Minnesota. I'm sorry, I thought they were 3,200.
Yeah, do you like the Colts or the
Colts? Yeah, we can do the Colts. It gives you 3,700. Strange is the best on my end.
Let's go Washington.
Ooh.
$0 out.
There you go.
Tall team.
All right. So Kyler Murray, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jalen Coker, if he plays, Malik Nabers, Roman Dunze, Trey McBride, Malik Washington, and Colts D. That is the full build. That is $0 remaining. And that is the week 16 main slate breakdown, fellas. That is that's some goodness there. It's a fun one. It's a weird one, as Mandy and I were talking about. A lot of different ways that you can go this week. And so it's going to be really, really imperative, I think, to hit on the game environments. And overstacking is probably going to be a strong key this week, unless we get some more insane value that opens up later on into the weekend. But, fellas, it's going to be a fun one. Any final words for the people?
No, I hope this slate ends up better than how we feel, Ryan.
No shit, no shit. Kev?
I think it's actually a pretty fun slate. Like, last week I felt like it was kind of straightforward in a way, where I think this week sets up to a little bit more.
This week's weird for me because I like a lot of receivers, but I don't like a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of good mid-range receivers in the 5-6K range. And then you've got obviously Chase and Amon-Ra that I like up top, but I don't like a lot of the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Which is weird. It's just a weird, I mean, it's a weird slate. It's different.
Yeah. I didn't say it, but like Joe Burrow, I still think he's 1000% in play.
He's 5% owned.
He's what?
He's going to be unowned. Him and T are unowned. And Chase
shouldn't be, because
18%.
We've seen the Bengals are one of the rare teams that they do not give a shit what the game environment is.
It'll be 40-0 in the second quarter.
They can be down. It doesn't matter. They're still going to chuck the rock at a really high rate. And so, like, you don't really have to worry about, like, yes, we would have liked it more if Jameis. And I still think there is a more than 50% chance that Jameis Winston still plays in that game at some point.
Yeah.
Because DTR is dreadful.
Well, he's questionable, right? I think they listed Jameis as questionable.
They better not rule his ass out so they don't have to
start the day. Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, if they want to, because you can't have him active and play shitty, of course they're going to, you know, they're going to want to put him in. So I'm curious to see what his status ends up being. But yeah, I mean, that game was supposed to be bananas and it would have been the most popular game, but that doesn't change the fact that the Bengals will just score on anybody. So, and their playoff hopes, you know, rely on them, you know, winning games, and they
want to.
We
need them to keep winning. We want the Bengals to keep score winning, so we can keep using their pieces. Because who knows what they'll do if they get kicked out?
For sure, 100%. So yeah, definitely like some Joe Burrow exposure this week. It's going to be a fun one. Yeah, I agree, Manny. It's not a fun slate for quarterback, which is why I think, you know, Richardson and Penix are popping. So people don't have to think about stacks. They can just take your isolated pieces. But
Aiden O'Connell
and the high price running back. Manny
brought up Aiden O'Connell. Yeah. Yeah, fun. I mean, we're talking about Aiden O'Connell. Like, you know what time it is.
Aiden O'Connell, Myers, Bowers, and BTJ.
We got robbed because the last time he played, we were on him, and then he got hurt in like the first drive or two of the game. We didn't get to see him, but he's shown ceiling. And we know Jaguars defense.
They're horrible.
So, I mean, we just saw Aaron Rodgers
doesn't have a running back.
You know,
yeah,
and that, I mean, obviously they're Aaron Rodgers and their weapons are better.
Aiden O'Connell is 100% in play.
Yeah, That was the Jets Super Bowl last week. They had so much fun running up the score on the Jags. So
it was still close though. Like, it was a close game.
Right. No, it was. It was a close game.
Ryan Thomas is a baller.
He's been phenomenal. He's been, I mean, arguably the best rookie wide receiver
this year. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame because, you know, Neighbors, I feel like, is the best, but the quarterback play has been.
We'll see. I think that's going to be fun because, I mean, Ryan Thomas hasn't been gifted with great quarterback play this year either.
So, he has that. He has that.
You know, yeah. So it's going to be, but yeah, love Ryan Thomas.
At least the ball somehow hits him in the hands, whereas, you know, Neighbors can't say the same thing.
I definitely think it's Neighbors and Brian Thomas, and then there's a teardrop down to Marvin Harrison at this point because Marvin Harrison has not looked very good.
For sure. We'll get after that. We'll get after that with the people for sure. But yeah, DJ Nation, always appreciate you guys rocking with us again a Friday night. Nothing like a nightcap to build your lineups, getting into the Sunday slate. Don't forget there's some Saturday football tomorrow as well too, NFL and college football as well. So a lot of goodness to be able to maybe build that bankroll up before Sunday comes along and really have fun and get after that action. But until next time, we catch you guys for the week 17 main main slate. We're going to sign off. Matty D at Matty DFS is where you can find him on Twitter and X. The Godfather himself, Kevin Steele at Fantasy Route 13 on Twitter and X. And myself, Ryan Williams at Ryan Alexander underscore W on Twitter and X. We'll catch you next time, guys. It's the DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. Get that money. Peace.
Know who you're talking to. Big man, I'll treat you like you're a little man. Yo, tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down.
If you want to see more companies make things in America, consider buying more things from companies who are already doing that very thing. Companies like American Giant. These guys have been making t-shirts, sweatshirts, flannels, and blue jeans in America for the last 14 years, with cotton grown right here in the USA. That means good jobs for lots of hardworking Americans in factory towns all over the country. Check out their stuff in stores everywhere, or pick up something awesome at American-Giant.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.